for our worship service this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. We've been looking the last few weeks. Last week we took off because of Mother's Day, but before that we've been looking upon salvation. We've looked at the beautiful vocabulary of salvation, what these different words mean. We have looked at God's program of salvation, how we actually are saved and what goes into all that. Today I want us to think about the certainty of salvation. 1 John chapter 5, let's read verses 9 through 13. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. Notice this. He who believes or trusts in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him God a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now notice this. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I want to ask you a question this morning. Don't answer out loud. Answer it within your head. But please, answer this question. Do you know for sure, that you're going to heaven? Do you know for certain that you're saved? That you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in salvation? Now think about that and answer it in your head. Do you know for sure? Not I hope, not I think, well maybe. Do you know for certain? Now, many would tell you, well, no, you can't know that. You can only hope. Maybe if you hold out, maybe if you're faithful, you'll go to heaven, but you can't know for sure. I mean, after all, that seems a little presumptuous to say that you know that you're going to heaven. They will tell you, you have to wait until you die and you arrive in God's presence to know for sure. To which I say, doesn't that seem a little too late to make any changes? What a horrible way for a believer to go through life. For a person who says they're a Christian to go through life in doubt, in worry, well maybe, maybe not, in fear that you might end up going to hell rather than heaven. You see, the truth of the matter is, based upon the clear teaching of the Word of God, you can know for certain that you're saved if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, no, you can't know. But if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you can know for certain that heaven's your home, that you're saved right now, and you'll continue to be saved. And you can know that for three major reasons. First of all, you can know that because God has told you that you can know. Again, 1 John 5:13. John writes under the inspiration of God, "These things I have written to you," who? Those who believe in the name of the Son of God, those who have trusted Christ as Savior. "That you may know that you have eternal life." Not that you might hope you have eternal life. Or maybe I have eternal life. Or even I think I have eternal life. You see, God wants his children to know they belong to him. How tragic for a child of God to doubt his eternal salvation, to not know for certain where he is going to spend eternity, to not know he's going to spend eternity with God, his Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't want us to face eternity in uncertainty. He wants us to face eternity with confidence. I mean, how can you as a Christian serve God when you're not even sure you're going to go to heaven? When you're not even sure if you're truly saved for eternity? I'd be more scared about myself than I would trying to win somebody else to Christ or serve God. But God says, no, you can know it. I think of Sir James Simpson. You say, well, who was he? He was the discoverer of chloroform. And by the way, the reason he discovered chloroform, I've heard, is that he went back to Genesis and he realized that God did what to Adam when he took out the part of his side to make Eve? He put him to sleep. And he said, well, why couldn't we do that for surgery? And he discovered chloroform. Well, the time came when Sir Simpson was on his deathbed. A friend came to him and said, sir, what are your speculations? To which Simpson replied, speculations? I have no speculations. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That should be the confidence of every born-again believer. We don't have speculations. We have confidence. We've committed ourselves to God, and he keeps our soul to that day as we stand before him. Now, may I say, such confidence is only found in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not found in the name of Buddha. It's not found in the name of Confucius. It's not found in the name of Allah. It's not found in the Catholic saints or in Mary or in anybody else, Joseph Smith. It is only found in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ can we know that we have eternal life. So yes, you can have confidence because, first of all, God has told you you can know. And if God has told you that you can know, and God never lies, well, that's good enough for me. You can know. Secondly, you can know for certain because God holds you safely in his hand. And no one can remove you from it. Go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Jesus is speaking. John 10 verses 28 and 29. Jesus had just said he's the good shepherd. And that we know him as Savior, we are the sheep. And then he says this, John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. But I give them, those who are his sheep, those who trust him, I give them what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Notice he says he's given to us what? Eternal life. Now, by definition, eternal has in its concept unending. If we could lose it, it wouldn't be eternal. If he's given it to us and it's eternal life, then we can know for sure that we have that. And we will never perish. Not that I have life now and someday in the future, maybe I'll lose it and I'll perish. No, I have eternal life. By definition, there's no condition with that other than trust in Christ. It is eternal. And then he says, I hold you in my hand. We are held in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross to purchase our salvation. What love! And we are held in the all-powerful hand of the creator of the universe. Jesus, we see in the New Testament, created the universe, everything. If he's done that, it's all-powerful. No one can take us out of God's Son's hand. But if that wasn't enough, he goes on to say, furthermore, we are secure not only in the Son's hand, we are secure in the Father's hand. No one's greater than God the Father. No one is more powerful than God the Father. No one can steal us from God the Father. We are secure we have here the certainty because we're in his hand. But Pastor, my hand's in the hand of the Father, but what if I let go? What if I slip out of his hand and I pull my hand away? We're not catching the situation here. It's not that we have a hold of the Father's hand. He has a hold of our hand. Now, a child might slip away if he's holding on to us and we say, you know, we're at a mall or something like that and we have our children who are small. Now, hold on to me. You know, grab onto my belt or grab onto my hand and don't let go. That child might see something that looks interesting and they might let go. But that's not the picture. We're there and we have a hold of that child's hand. And no matter what he sees or one of those sees, nope, you're staying with me. Maybe I'll go over there with you, but no, I'm not letting go. Your hand is in my hand. I'm holding on to you. It's not dependent upon the child's strength or concentration, but upon the Father's. You see, in our relationship with God, it's dependent upon God the Father's strength. He's almighty. It's dependent upon his loving concern, and he's all loving for his child. He's not going to let us go. So we can know for certain, not just because he's told us we know for certain, but because we're in his hand and we're secure in his hand. He's not going to let us go. Thirdly, we can know for certain because nothing can separate you from God and his love. Go with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Book of Romans is this beautiful book about our salvation. We go to it often to show this beautiful plan of salvation. We call the Romans Road and how a person can be saved. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, he tells us about the certainty of that salvation. Go with me. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Think about these things. He says that the trials of life, all the problems, all the things of life, all the trials and troubles cannot separate us from God. We like to think, well, what happens if this comes into my life and I don't get faithful, or this happens in my life and I want to leave God, or this. God says, no, none of the trials, the problems of life can separate you from the love of Christ. Warren W. Wiersbe put it like this. To begin with, God does not shelter us from the difficulties of life because we need them for spiritual growth. Romans 5. Then in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, God assures us that the difficulties of life are working for us and not against us. God permits trials to come that we might use them for our good and God's glory. We endure trials for his sake. Romans 8, 16. And since we do we think that he will desert us? Of course not. Instead, he is closer to us when we go through the difficulties of life. Have you ever noticed that? Instead of difficulties driving a believer away from God, difficulties drive us to God. And he's there for us in those difficulties. And sometimes we feel his presence more when we're going through hard times than good times. In all of these trials of life, Paul says here, we are more than conquerors. Now, this is interesting. More here has the idea of basically hyper. You ever say, well, that kid's hyper? Or that's a high, you know, just the top. I mean, it's super. I mean, he's up to the brink. And then the word for conquers is a word we know from a shoe line, Nike. Why do they call their line Nike? Because the word means conqueror or champion. We are hyper Nikes. We are super champions. We are super conquerors. In all the trials, we are super conquerors through Jesus Christ. So they're not going to drive us away from God or make God let us go. And then he goes on to say the spirit realm, spirit beings, angels, or demonic spirits, they cannot separate us from God. Outside of God himself, the spirit realm are the most powerful beings we know of. I mean, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in the Old Testament. We think of the angel of death that went through Egypt to slay the firstborn. They are mighty. But God says it doesn't mean if an angel of heaven or an angel, a fallen angel of hell, the demons, they can't separate us from the love of God. He says neither will life nor even death, things present in this life or things coming in your life, none of those are going to separate you from God. And then he goes on to say no created being can separate you from God. You might say, well, but Pastor, what about me? Maybe I will do something. I have a question. Are you a created being? Did God create you? Well, that includes you. You can't separate yourself, if you know Christ as Savior, from the love of God. It's a legal decision. You accepted Christ and legally you became his child. Legally you became forgiven, justified. All those wonderful words we've looked at in the past. You have been born again. And you can't be separated. You are certain. Therefore, nothing can separate you from God. Now, that's not just a promise with conditions attached. It's not, well, nothing will separate you from the love of God if you do this or if you do that. No. There's no conditions. It's just a straight promise. But more than that, our security in Jesus is an established fact. You could say it's written in the annals of heaven. Your name is written in the book of life. It is certain. Nothing can separate you from God or his love. Believe that if you're a child of God. Rejoice in that. You say, well, Pastor, you're saying we can know for certain? Yes, because God's told you so. Yes, because you're safely in God's hand. Yes, because nothing can separate you from God. He said, well, then, Pastor, why then do some people not know for certain? Well, there's various reasons, but let me just give you a few. Some don't know for certain because they're not saved. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have no assurance. Because you don't. You're not saved. You don't have eternal life. Heaven's not your home. Because of that, you're not going to have any security. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to see yourself as a sinner. You need to see that Jesus died as God died in your place and paid for your sins in full. You need to see that he is the only way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And seeing that, then you go to him and you accept him as Savior. The Bible promises, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just trust him. Ask him to be your Savior. Then you can have certainty. So some people who call themselves Christians, if you were to ask them, do you know heaven's your home? Are you certain? They go, well, no, I'm not certain. Why? Because maybe they're not saved to begin with. Also, some are not certain because they're living in sin. You know, Satan is our enemy. He likes to come to us and make sin look so good. The book of James talks about that. It's his bait. And then we take the bait. And then Satan comes back and says, how can you call yourself a Christian? Would a Christian have done that? Would a Christian have said that? Would a Christian have desired that? Would a Christian have thought that? And we begin to listen to Satan again and say, well, you know, maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe I'm not saved after all. Or maybe I just don't know. And we are living in sin, and we have sin in our lives, and we do not confess it and get it right with God. We can feel at times like we're not saved. Are we still saved? Yes. Is God going to deal with us as children? Yes. Is, if we don't get it right with Him, is He eventually going to take us to the woodshed, as they used to say? Yes. Because whom the Lord loves, He chastens. But if we see that as sin and we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But sometimes we're not certain because of sin in our lives that we haven't gotten right. If that's the case, get it right. Keep very short accounts with God. When we do wrong and we sin, go to God and say, Lord, I sinned. I know it was wrong. Forgive me. Restore the closeness. Thirdly, some are not certain because they just don't know the Scriptures. They may have been raised in a household that, yes, you need Jesus as Savior, but then, you know, you need to stay close to Him or you're going to lose it. Or maybe they go to a church and that church doesn't teach that you can know for sure. And they know Christ as Savior. They've asked Him to be their Savior, but they don't know the Scriptures. Reminds me when Jesus told the Pharisees, you do err, not knowing the power of God's Word. As we dig into the Bible and we see all the assurances, then we can know for sure. So some doubt because they don't know for sure, because they don't know the Scriptures. And also, some place feelings above God's Word. Some are very feeling-oriented. And, man, today I know I'm God's child because I just feel it. Tomorrow we're down in the dumps. And we just don't feel it. Maybe I don't feel like I'm saved. Some of us are just our very nature. You know, we shut a door and then we go back and we have to check it 3 times. Did I do it? I don't feel it. I don't have that confidence. And we have these feelings. Fearing, feelings of nervousness, feelings of this or feelings of that. And we take our these feelings and we put them foremost in our minds, and therefore we're not certain. But I like the old saying, it says, feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant confidence is the Word of God. Not else is worth believing. God says it, that settles it. If we feel great, God said it, that settles it. If we feel lousy, God still said it, that settles it. And when we have those feelings, we go back and say, but I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and He said, whosoever believes will have eternal life. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, trusts in Him, will not perish but have everlasting life. And I may not feel it all the time, but I know it. And we have that confidence based on God's Word. How about you this morning? Have you placed your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ as personal Savior? If so, stop doubting. Rest confidently in the promise of God's Word. He's recorded it, and then go out and serve Him with joy. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as Savior, won't you come to Him even right now? Trust Him. Go to Him in silent prayer and ask Him to be your Savior and Lord. He will. Or if you want to talk to me more about it after the services, come and talk to me. Let me show you even more out of God's Word how you can know for sure. But place your faith in Christ and then join us all and just rejoice in that. Let's stand. Our heads in prayer for just a moment. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You for salvation. We could never save ourselves. We could never do enough. We'd only work our way to hell. But in grace, our Lord and Savior came to this world and died upon the cross, paying for our sins in full. And now your Holy Spirit invites us to come to you and be saved in Jesus. Thank you for our salvation. Help us, dear Lord. Maybe we've had doubts. Maybe we've had fears. But today we see the certainty of your word. Help us to leave here rejoicing. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me with one last song? Softly and tenderly.
Yeah.